all the chapters and verses by numbers hasn't always been in the Bible. Did y'all know that? You know, it wasn't like when Moses was sitting down, let me write Deuteronomy. All right, chapter 1. You know, it didn't go like that. We find it very convenient because if I'll say a book and a chapter, you can get there pretty quick because it's been numbered. Well, what'd they do before they had numbers? What'd they do before they had numbers and before they had, you know, all the verses and everything else? Well, generally, especially for young Jewish children going to the synagogue or learning that, a rabbi or a teacher would simply just say the first verse of a chapter or the first verse of a song. And people will know, oh, that's where we're going to go. That's where we're going to go. And you know how this works. Let me even get this one. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, hey, see, there you are. You're a good Hebrew. All right, good. When Jesus was on the cross, he actually kind of did just that. He didn't talk a lot on the cross, but there was one time in which he did his best to grab everybody's attention and draw them to a particular chapter. It's actually the chapter directly before Psalms 23. Psalms 22. Anybody know how that begins? My God, why have you forsaken me? I've often wondered if Jesus did that because here he is upon a cross and he's drawing everybody's attention to probably what was one of the most prolific and most profound messianic psalms that there is, because in that psalms it says, I have been surrounded by all those who hate me. They gape at the mouth with me. They grit their teeth and my hands and my feet have been pierced. And that was a phrase that was shared long before crucifixion was even part of the worldly scene. It was so simply an unbelievable acclamation that was being made by David. How does that fit in? He says, I'm just being pinned down here. Well, Jesus is now literally pinned down, and it's almost as if Jesus is saying, go and look at Scripture, and you'll see it's all taking place right now in front of you. I think the Lord may have been probably doing that. But I think the Lord also felt exactly what that psalm says. We struggle with that. How could Jesus say to God, God, why have you forsaken me? Did God literally forsake him? Well, there's a good, strong theological debate we can have on that point. But I will say this to you. You never feel more human than when you feel forgotten. You never feel more human than when your pain is so immense, you have no idea how you're going to go on. You never, ever, ever feel more weak, more frail than when you don't know what to do. And you feel there's nobody there to help you. And let's just be honest. Sometimes there is no one that can help us. It's that kind of pain. Unless it's the one who died for us. Folks, what I want you to see and understand, our Lord knows the human experience. And what we can learn from His humanity is that we have a Lord who can sympathize with all of our weaknesses. He understands all of our struggles. I know some of you think, well, no. He can understand what... Yes, nothing is new under the sun, folks. Nothing is new. He understands everything that you're feeling. He understands all the burdens. He understands all the frustrations. He understands all the anxieties. He understands all the struggles. He understands what it's like being a teen living in a technological driven world. He understands what it's like dealing with great temptation. He understands what it's like dealing with family. He understands what it's like dealing with heartache. Because He endured it all. And so what you have in your Lord Jesus is one who's wanting you to see that He not only understands, but He loves you. He loves you. I used to think I understood love until I got married. And when I thought I understood love then, it paled in comparison to when I had children. And from what I hear, it even pales in comparison to when you have grandchildren. Your heavenly Father truly loves you more than you could ever imagine. And so what He's inspired us to do with the cross is not only see His love, to understand His sympathy, but to see His way of life. You see, the hands that seem to be bound are not bound at all. Those hands are wide open and they're reaching for you. Don't leave Him wondering in surprise that you're not willing to reach out to Him. Take His hand. Feel His embrace. Follow Him. Because what you'll see in your Lord Jesus is a hand that not only saves and lifts you up, but a hand that can help you handle this human experience. Because He's been there. This morning, if you're not a child of God, please reflect for a moment upon this picture of Jesus. Yes, it's a picture of God. Yes, it's a picture of a Lord. But He's a man who understands. And He died for one reason, for you and for me. So come to Him. Come to Him. Come to Him right now. Embrace Him. Because He's waiting for you. If we can help you in any way, do that this morning. Won't you come while we stand and sing?